Some people, I'm sure none of us, don't fully count their blessings. Some people, I'm sure none of us, don't take advantage of what God has given them. Some people, again, I'm sure none of us, work and strive for the irrelevant while passing over the significant. This is the word of God I'm holding in my hands, the word of God, and it is written for a purpose. That purpose is not hidden. It is not a mystery. God's word explains the purpose of God's word. God's word even accomplishes the purpose of God's word. Listen to the word of God from Isaiah 55:10-11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God has a purpose for his word, and God will accomplish that purpose through his word. And what are the purpose for which God sent his word? Consider this. The purpose of God's word is to teach us and give us hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." The purpose of God's word is that we might believe in Jesus Christ, and by believing, we might have life in his name. John 20:30-31 says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you might believe and have life in Jesus' name, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life in his name." The purpose of God's word is to serve both as an example and a warning to us. 1 Corinthians 10:1-11 says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat, to drink and eat, and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel." These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the circumlocution of the ages has come. Yes, the narrative of the Old Testament gives us both examples and warnings. Let's look at a part of the story of God's chosen people and see an example of the proper use of God's word. I'll be reading from 2 Chronicles 34:14-33. Please feel free to follow along in your pew Bibles on page 726. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book through Moses in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan. God's word had been lost. It had been lost for years. Judah had been ruled by at least two generations of kings who rejected God and led the people astray. Now Josiah was king in Judah, and under his reign, God's word was found. Wasn't it a stroke of luck, too? Did you hear where they found God's word? It was in the temple of the Lord. Who would have thought to look there? Aren't we fortunate today that God's word isn't lost, that God's word doesn't need to be discovered, that God's word occupies a place in our homes, perhaps on the hutch or a coffee table? Yes, aren't we fortunate today? Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, "Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and the workers. Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. This was an outward expression of an inward condition. Josiah's heart was changed by the hearing of God's word. The tearing of his robes was an expression of the change in his heart. What an appropriate response to hearing God's word, a change of heart. It makes one think that perhaps God's word wasn't actually lost. Perhaps it was there all along. How easy it is to know about God, but to never know God. To know about the Bible, but never meet the author. It's a sad thing to grow up in the church, in the faith, but never meet Jesus. The Bible speaks to us this in Isaiah 6, 9-10, where it says, He said, Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of the people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Jesus even spoke to his disciples about this in the following the parable of the sower. The disciples asked Jesus why he spoke in parables. Mark 4, 10-12 says, When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. I guess we could say that Josiah's heart was good soil. I pray the same is true for yours. He gave the orders to Hilkiah, Akham, the son of Shaphan, Abon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Ashas, the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah, all about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us, because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. We call this sin. Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokla, the son of Harasa, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in this book that have been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all their hands have made, my anger will be poured out on this place and it will not be quenched. There is a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and on those who live here. Josiah's heart responded to the word of God. Josiah was changed from the inside. Dare we say that Josiah repented? Dare we say in the last verse Josiah had been forgiven? Don't be deceived. Disaster is still coming because of the sin of the people, but God promises here that the disaster will not fall on Josiah. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but it won't be Josiah who dies for the sin. The punishment will fall on someone else. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some similar promise from God? Wouldn't it be nice if the punishment for our sin would rest on someone else? Could it be as simple as hearing the word of God and responding with a changed heart as Josiah did? So they took her answer back to the king. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which have been found in the temple of the Lord. Here, God's word is read. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Here, the king responds. Then he had everyone in Judah and Jerusalem pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. Here the people respond. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites, and he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God as long as they lived. They did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors. God's word, faithfully read, faithfully heard, brought lasting change. Can it still do the same today? So we have God's word. Do we count ourselves blessed? So we have God's word, but where? On a shelf or in our hearts? So we read God's word, but with a heart of what kind of soil? So we read God's word. Does it tell a nice story? Or does it offer us life through Jesus? I leave you with a word of hope, a word from God himself, Isaiah 55:10-11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word, written for purpose. Could that purpose be you? Let us pray. Dear Father, you have given us your word, your Son, that we might believe and have life in Jesus' name. Now keep your promise and accomplish in us your purpose. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.